I was born at a very early age, and in a hospital because my mother was there at the time. But I guess seriously, I came from a large Catholic family. I'm the third oldest. And I guess I'm just kind of somewhere in the middle there, and I just wanted to maybe stand out or fit in, and I learned to drink early, and it worked for me, and I guess it worked for a long time, because I drank for a long time, but I had scarlet fever when I was 19 months old. I had the Catholics give the infants last sacraments. I've had the last sacraments. I had pneumonia a couple times when I was a young child, twice. So I guess I always grew up feeling that I was somewhat different, somewhat unique. My mother called me her miracle child, and she continued to have children, and so even though a large family, I probably have abandonment issues, you know. Right away when I started drinking, 11, 12 years old, I never drank normally. I learned to drink for effect, like right from the start. And I started getting in trouble right away. Like I heard in these rooms, and I relate, you know, I didn't get in trouble every time I drank, but every time I had got into trouble, I had been drinking. I look back on my lengthy criminal career, and, you know, alcohol was always, bottom line, alcohol was always involved, every time. You know, whether it was burglaries when I was 12, 13 years old. You know, one of my first crimes was stealing bicycles. You know, maybe coming from a large family, I didn't have a lot. You know, and I felt the world owed me a living. You know, and so I just kind of took what I wanted. I didn't. I guess I did go to jail a lot, but a few times. You know, I guess the high point of my criminal career was I got to go to prison in 1973. I was a heroin dealer. I didn't tell on anyone. Yeah. But bottom line, you know, behind that all, I still was drinking, and I knew what the combination of alcohol and other drugs would do to me, and it didn't matter. I had to drink first, just take that edge off. It just took me a long time to want to stay around this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I learned early on in my teenage years that my parents were alcoholics. And I started going to Alateens, and I already recognized that I was a blackout drinker. And I learned at Alateens that if I was an alcoholic, what I got out of it was my parents' fault, you know. And that sums up a large part of my life. It was always somebody else's fault, you know. Who was to blame? They were. You know, it was my parents, teachers, probation officer, then parole officer, you know, shouldn't have violated me that time. That was unfair. Just because I was dirty, I don't know. You know. But I didn't get a fair shake at life. And just wasn't right. You know, and alcohol leveled everything. You know, when I was drunk, when I was drinking, and doing all those other combinations, you know, that I was okay. You know, I was just a little bit taller, a little bit better looking. Not that I'm ugly, you know, and I heard in these rooms and I identified it with, you know, I don't think much of myself, but I think about me all the time. I go, wow, you know, that's me, you know. I hear a lot of good stuff at these meetings, you know, and you know, a pet peeve of mine in these meetings is, you know, what you hear here, let it stay here, you know, and everybody goes, hear, hear. You know, bullshit, man. Take what you hear here and apply it in your life and things will change for you. You know, and I heard someone else share that and I said, oh yeah, man, that's right, you know. I followed the crowd most of my life and, it didn't get me very far, you know. My last drink was January 4th, 1998, you know, and I just really desperately wanted this program again, you know. I had wanted it before, and I'm from the Bay Area, you know. I got in some trouble, and I don't know when it was. Redwood City, I went to some meetings. I've been to meetings in Reno when things got bad. San Jose when times were tough. I tried in Clovis for a number of years. I was moved over the hill from San Jose about 20 years ago. And things were going to get different. Things were going to be changed. You know, and they did for a while. And then my second wife, God bless her, She was a real good excuse for me. She was much worse than I was. She was and is a hope to die dope fiend, you know. She used to get hot at me for drinking up the drug money, you know. But I knew what I was getting, you know. You go to the liquor store and ask for what you want, and you know what the effect, you know, and then bottom line, I'm just a drunk, you know, and I just tried to mask that with the drugs, and it was better to be a drug addict than a drunk, you know, so it just took me a long time to really just want to stick around this program and get involved and do the steps and get a sponsor. I got a sponsor in November 97. I got sober once again. I had 56 days of sobriety. It was December 22nd, 1997. I was working as a custodian. I had married this gal with four kids, and I had custody of my two because I was better than that other person, and I got custody of my two kids because she couldn't show up in court because she had warrants out for arrest. So we had six kids in a two-bedroom apartment. I was working as a custodian. I don't know, maybe 8.5 hours. Coming up on Christmas, it began. I did December 22nd that I'd take a drink. And that just started my last drunk. I drank for 4 days. And it just didn't work anymore. I was just sick inside, you know. I looked back on my life. I felt sorry for myself. I just felt beat up by life, you know. And that's pretty much the feelings. That's why I was drinking. It just didn't take it away anymore. My God, what was I going to do? You know, And I just had to realize to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. I'm just a drunk, you know. So if you're here tonight and you've admitted to your innermost self that you're an alcoholic, then we are alike. We got that same thing going on. I have a disease, and when I take that first drink, something happens to me. You know, I have that mental obsession to take a drink, and once I take that first one, all bets are off. You know, I will continue to drink, and things will get worse. And I had to prove that to myself time and time again. You know, I can look back on my life. I remember, and I've shared it here before, I moved with a shopping cart from one complex to another in Clovis. And the shopping cart tipped over, and I lost like 98% of my glassware. You know, it was in that load. And I didn't have very much. It only took a couple loads to move that shit. But, you know, I just moved. I had to move. You know, the rent was due. I hadn't paid the electricity. And that second wife, God bless her, she would spend the money on drugs. And I thought the bills were paid. And, you know, get home from work and we got to move again. You know, and there was just all this drama and just a lot of crap. And I had crap all my life. You know, but I was able to get back through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous January 4th, 1998, one more time. You know, and I had that sponsor, and I hadn't called him in about 12 days. You know, I was drinking. You know, and I called him and I said, "Well, Jerry, what are you doing?" You know, "This is Pat." He goes, "What are you doing, Pat? I haven't heard from you." You know, I said, "I've been drinking, Jerry." He goes, "Well, no shit." He goes, "What are you going to do about it?" I said, "Whatever you tell me." And he just made it a requirement, and he just sat it out, you know, laid it out for me. "You're going to get involved with Hospitals and Institutions Committee." He goes, "That's what my sponsor made me do, and that's what I make all my guys do." He goes, "Are you willing to do that?" And I said, "Yep." He said, "Well, good. There's a meeting at the Fresno Aloha Club on Tuesday." It was Monday or Tuesday. I don't know, remember what it was. And he goes, "It starts at 7. I want you there at 6 to help set up." He goes, "Are you willing to do that?" And I said, "Yep." And that just started my journey on the steel. You know, I went through the steps with him. I continue to do those steps. I try to apply those principles in my life, and I know what the result will be when I do. They're good. It's good stuff. I did not have a fight tonight at my house with my stepson, who drinks a little bit too much. You know, he drinks like I do. He goes to people's houses, he'll drink till everything's gone. He'll pass out on their couch. He'll piss his pants, and then he'll pee on their couch and then sneak out in the night. You know, and it just pisses me off. You know why it pisses me off? That's me. He scares the shit out of me because I don't want to support him. Bottom line, he needs to pull his life together, pull his head up out of his ass. And you know what? When I start doing this, you know, there's 3 points back at me, man. It's my stuff. You know? And I learned that here. You know? It's kind of a opened my eyes tonight, you know, sitting up here telling you guys, you know, I'm laying it out. You know, I'm going through stuff at home. Financial stuff. My God, I'm a car salesman. You know what that's like? I get beat up every day. When I let myself get beat up, I was stronger today than I was yesterday. I did some good stuff today. I worked hard today. I was not able to sell a car. Got a couple things working. I guess the biggest deal is I got up this morning and didn't have any mess to clean up. I didn't have to apologize to my wife for last night. I didn't have to apologize for being late to work. I was on time. I worked. I was there to work. I'm a good employee today. You know, I turned 60 last month. I got out of power. Gary, I turned 60 last month. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I think your mic is set up.
Oh. All right. All right. But that's a big deal for a drunk, you know. I haven't had a drink in about 11 and a half years. And that's Alcoholics Anonymous working, not anything I did. You know, I just stay hooked up with the program. Do the steps. And the biggest thing for me was that first step of turning it over. You know, admitting to my innermost self that I am an alcoholic. That was a big deal. I didn't want to admit that. It took me a long time in and out of this program. I tried it a number of times, and it worked pretty good. I thought I wasn't an alcoholic. I might have been premature, you know, and there again, you know, I'd start drinking again. Just a little bit. I could do some controlled drinking for a short time. And it always turned out bad. Every time. Time and time again, you know. I got married a long time ago. We ran from a drug program, my second wife and I. In Redwood City, I was on my way back to prison for writing hot checks. Hooked up with this gal one night. We did the little thing there and fell in love, you know. We took off and, man, we're going to go to Reno. We went to San Jose for a couple of weeks and took a bus to Reno. We're going to stay up in Reno for a couple of weeks and turned into 2 years. And things were okay in Reno for about 2 years. We had a baby. Reno's pretty good. We were living in a motel. Those motels, they give you three drink totes. And you get a roll of nickels and 2 drinks. And you get a couple more drinks. Yeah, it's run pretty cheap in Reno. I started drinking. Pretty soon she gets into the drugs, you know, and things got screwed up real quick. You know, she went out one night and I hopped a plane to Florida. And it took her a couple weeks to locate me down there. I had taken off with the baby. We had one baby at that time. We ended up back in the Bay Area. Started a small business. Started a house cleaning business. And then she started dipping in people's purses. And my part of the deal was I just co-signed it. You know, she would get some money and she would get her little drugs and I would get my alcohol. And drugs. Because once I started drinking, I'd do most anything. That's a lie. I'll do anything. Whatever you got. You know what? You give me a drink, and my drug of choice is whatever you got. I'm there for you, brother. You know, and I'll back you up. I'll back your play, especially if I'm in a blackout. But when it got too risky, I would run. I wouldn't tell you that part. But I learned here at Alcoholics Anonymous that my life and I operated on fear, a lot of fear. I didn't want to get found out. You know, so didn't want to get found out, I'd lie. No big deal. Feel bad about the lie, drink some more. You know, it's just revolved and revolved. Maybe shit happened. I'd come home from work, I'd be trying to work, kind of half-assed. And I would always blame her, the second wife, God bless her. For my part, I just went along with it. It's just easier to go along with the program. And I would drink, and everything would be smooth. You know, police would be knocking on my door. I've had my door kicked in by the FBI. And that was her fault. But they were looking for her. And I would just lie and tell all kinds of shit. And a drink would smooth it out. I guess alcohol and other drugs worked a long time in my life. I was one of the fortunate ones. You know, we're the fortunate ones that were here. If you have admitted to your innermost self that you're an alcoholic, and you work in this program, and you have a sponsor, and you've been through the steps, you know, at least once, and then you go through them again, and you apply these principles, and you stick with the program, we're in the minority. And that's a scary deal when you hear about people that we've had a couple this past year. A gal was about 18 years. She went out and OD. That's some scary stuff. You know, someone starts to drink again and you don't hear from them ever. That's tough. You know, I was just up in Stockton this past weekend. One of my younger brothers, his heart gave out in May. He had a little, he was up off the river. He had a little room up in Stockton. And we had been talking the last, last 3 months before he died. They say he had heart disease. But I don't know if he decided to pick up again or what happened. But God bless him, you know. He had a real tough go of it. You know, I was never homeless. I camped out a few times, but he really did the deal. You know, he was a homeless guy, but he was one. I think he was one of us. You know, and he told me he was, but that was his decision to make. You know, arrive at that point. I talked to him once about 6 years ago. He was in a rehab. And then he called me that they had asked him to leave his rehab place. He had got off the hard drugs, and he couldn't understand it. He was working, and they didn't want him drinking after work. And so rather than stick with the program, he left. You know, drinking was more important to him. I was with a brother Saturday that... he's had a heart attack. He's 4 years younger than I am. And when he drinks, he gets gout. Bones swell up or something. I don't really understand it. But he was kind of limping around, and I asked him, what's going on. He said, well, I drank a little bit yesterday. You know, and then he was in pain the next day. Insane, you know, but it was more important for him to have a couple beers. I know for me, I cannot take a drink. I never could. I never wanted one. I wanted one to start with. But there's always more. If one's good, more is better. Two or three. Four's probably pretty good, though. It just took me a long time to want to to want to stick around and do this deal. The benefits of the program, they're like immediate. You see a new person, man, they're fired up. And there was a gal that had about 6 months on Sunday night. She was all, things all animated and stuff. And then after a year or two, you kind of get in a slump, you know. Or I did, you know. And I still do. And that's when it's time for me to take some action. To get hooked up and involved again. I get a birthday card every year since, or about the last 6 or 7 years, I get a birthday card from the volunteer coordinator at Tulare County Jail. You know? And every time I open it and I look at that and I go, wow. You know, they send me a card. They were the guy, you know, they were at my house Saturday mornings looking for me in the closet, you know, standing there in my boxer shorts with warrants to take me to jail, you know, and now they send me a birthday card. Wow. You know, that's big stuff, you know. You know how I know I'm an alcoholic and I get these little reminders or nudges every now and then? It's been about 4 or 5 years. We have a house, my third wife and I, the one with those 4 ungrateful kids. You know what, I'm grateful now, but I used to think, you know, they're ungrateful, they don't love me. And maybe they don't. But you know what? I get to be my own guy because of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I pay the bills mostly on time. It's been a little bit shaky the last couple of years. But we get them paid. I have a roof over my head. We haven't gone hungry yet. I forgot where I was going with all that. The nudges. It's a good thing I wrote it down, huh? 60 years old, starting to creep up on me. But I had started drinking tonic water, and then I was kind of health conscious. So I mixed that with cranberry juice, and you give a little shot of lemon over ice. Oh, it's awesome, you know. And one day, one morning, well, probably 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, it's hot, you know, I got the day off. I get my tumbler and you know, fill it up with a crushed ice. I got one of those ice makers in the refrigerator. Now I can have stuff like that. I don't have to move in the middle of the night anymore. So I get my tonic water, you know, and I reach for the cranberry juice, and I don't keep it in the refrigerator because if I do, it gets cold, and those ungrateful kids might drink my cranberry juice. So I'm still a little twisted. I'm still a lot twisted, but the program keeps me a little bit saner. But I grab that cranberry juice, and I pop the top, and it goes, and it starts bubbling. The first thing I did, without a conscious thought, was I looked around behind me to see if anybody's looking, and I go, whoops, I'm in trouble. And dump that thing down. Now, not because I'm a great guy. The thing is, I'm scared. That shit scares me. I have a disease that works on its own. And I truly believe that. And then it was probably in the same, that same year, we had, we have a big household. Someone had that mouthwash that is not alcohol free. And I saw it in the bathroom. Yeah, the big bug. And I go, well, I don't use that. I don't use that. I'm an alcoholic. I can't use that stuff. It's okay for them. probably, I don't know, one or two days later, I'm in my living room, and without a conscious thought, I went from the living room to the bathroom, had the top off that bottle, and I raised it like this. I didn't plan that. I go, whoa, man, dump that stuff out. And I remember that story, there's a vanilla lady around here. I don't know if you guys heard the vanilla story. But see, I've got 5 or 6 years of sobriety. I can have that vanilla in my house. After that incident with the mouthwash, I went to my kitchen and I made sure I got rid of that. And I haven't bought that since. You know, the alcohol cooks out when you're cooking your cookies and stuff. So the flavor is essential for my baking. You know, that's what my That's what my disease tells me, and I deserve it, you know, with 5 or 6 years of sobriety, right? Right? You know? No. I can't have that stuff around me. I don't trust myself. I trust me. I trust my conscious mind. I don't trust my disease. I have a disease that they tell me it's cunning, baffling, and powerful, and I accept that. I accept that because the things that have happened to me, the cranberry juice, the mouthwash, you know, I'd probably sit here and think of a couple more, you know, but I'm just a drunk. And without help, it's too much for me, you know, and I had to learn that here. I had to get beat up bad enough. You know, we had a speaker meeting here at Richie's Bar Dam. Testing. Well, we had a speaker meeting over there at Richie's Barn this past year, and the lady that was the speaker there, when she concluded her story, was that she if you're new here, or you're just messing around with the program a little bit, you aren't sure if you're an alcoholic or not, she wished you desperation. And I thought, that's cool, you know, and that's what I wish for all of you, is that desperation to want this program bad enough in your life to really make it work. You know, and they say, when you work at it, you know, work it because you're worth it, and all that happy horse crap. But that's true. You know, I know for myself, when I apply the principles of this program in my life, when I don't tear my stepson's head off, or really ride him, but when I sit down and I look at him, and I say, yeah, for me, you know, for me, I remember leaving those people's houses having pissed on their couch, you know, with my jeans sticking to me, you know. I remember waking up after a party one night and on someone else's couch, and you kind of look around and you go, oh, crap. Damn, did it again, you know. And there's a beer there. There's a half-empty beer. I remember picking up that beer and swallowing, you know, and someone had used it for an ashtray. Oh, fuck, man. It really didn't matter. You know, part of my story that I didn't share. One of the high points of my criminal career was, and this is that I'll go to any length. I was involved in a gas station robbery years ago, where the gas station attendant was shot. It was an inside job. We got a little over $200 out of that deal, and I was the gas station attendant. You know, and then that was my best thinking on that day.
Yeah, man, you gotta shoot me. No, I don't wanna shoot you. Yeah, the police didn't believe us anyway.
That was my best thinking on that day, man. That was a cunning criminal thing to do.
You know, thinking of things like that.
Yeah, he's laughing. Going, you dumb lot. But you know what? I got drunk that day. So fuck y'all. That was real important for me to get something to drink that day, you know. And I did, my God. You know, I got shot, but it just, you know, it goes in, goes out, you know. The bullet just passed through me. Luckily, I would go to any length to get drunk. You know, give me a drink, and all my resolve is gone. All my good intentions are gone. You know, it's going to be different this week. You know, I'm not going to stay out as late. You know, and it was just, I just had to prove to myself again and again that those old gray haired parts at AA, God damn it, I guess they're right. You know, well, they were right. They were right then, and they're right now. And somehow I got to have gray hair, you know, and I got the times that I've OD'd, drank too much, alcoholic poisoning, you know, I proved to myself that if you have a big bottle of vodka and you start drinking at 7:30 in the morning, that, you know, by 10:30 you're probably going to be in the emergency room with alcoholic poisoning, you know, there towards the end of my drinking, I could not buy a big bottle. I could. Wasn't going to turn out well. It was going to be over real quick. But if I just got the half pint, sometimes a pint, you know, I could maybe get a pint, get by with a pint every now and then. But, you know, and I was making a couple trips to the liquor store at least a day, you know. You know, it's cunning, baffling, powerful, and without help, it is too much for me. You know, and if you're drunk like me, you really belong here. So I hope you stick around for me, because if you all weren't here, if I didn't see it working in your life, there's a few of you. I know Larry, Chris, Gary, you know, Lonnie, Rick, Sandy, you know, I go on and on. Gary, you know, there's a few of you I know, and I see you here consistently. So it's got to be a good deal. I know it is for me. You know, I haven't pissed on anybody's couch in a while. So with that, I'll keep coming back. Thanks.
I had to find a higher power that forgave me of all that crap. You know,
all the hurtful, shameful things I did. I wrote a lot of bad checks. I took my mother's check. I know I hurt her. You know, we all say that I'm only hurting myself, and that is a lie. That's a lie I told myself. We involve people. We involve the people that love us most. And I've done my share of hurting other people and being hurt. But God bless you, Larry, for reminding me of that. Reminding me of saying that, how important that is. You find a higher power of your own understanding. You turn your will and your life over to Him. Or whatever. And that's how that deal worked for me. Thank you, Larry.
All right, well, thanks, guys, again, for coming.
Yeah.